Excellent. Well, I'm thrilled this morning that Michelle is going to be bringing God's word to us. We talk about God's grace abounding in the deepest waters. Well, for Michelle, this is truly deep water for her. And for anyone who's not used to preaching or preaching for the first time, it will always feel like deep water. And think, oh my goodness, you know, what am I doing? But I know God's grace is going to abound through this. And I really thank God and I really commend Michelle for having the boldness to do it, because it's that first step, you know, it's that coming to me and saying, Rich, I'll do it. You know, just doing that is tough. And that's exactly what Michelle did that one time. She came to me and said, Rich, I'll do it. And then there was no turning back so from that moment on. And, you know, and I want to encourage us all, because haven't you been blessed over these last few months where, you know, different people have just been sharing God's heart. And it is this now Rhema word of God that God is speaking, not just through me, God is speaking through us all. And so, you know, I still encourage you as a church, please, you know, if God speaks to you, come and talk to me. But we're going to pray for Michelle. Just going to ask God to just help her and just give her the sort of to relax her and to help her to share God's word in a comfortable way. Father, I just thank you for Michelle. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've put within her heart. Lord, I know and I really receive those words from the song this morning that it's in the deepest waters, Lord, that your grace will abound. And I know Michelle is feeling like she's in deep waters, but Lord, you're there. And Lord, I pray that you'll help her keep her eyes above the waves and firmly fixed on you. I pray that you'll anoint her word, and I pray you'll equip her and give her the freedom and clarity of speech, Father, just to communicate your heart, you know, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So bless her, Lord, and bless us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to receive your word as if it was directly from your mouth, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you know, my mum saw how many pages I had printed yesterday, and she said, are you going to read all that? I said, okay, it's big print. This is going to be a very different preach. Pastor Richard may never ask me to preach again after this. I am not a preacher, and I will not have a well-laid-out three-point preach. To get us going, the lovely Sue is going to come and read to us Exodus 16, verses 1 to 8.
So this is titled The Manna and Quail. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the fifth day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.
Thanks, Sue. This preach, I don't really know why I'm preaching, to be honest with you, because everything that's in this preach is it's everything we've been talking about these past weeks. Even this morning, Richard spoke something of what's in this preach, so I do apologise if, you know, you're hearing things twice, but you know, you'll see as I unpack it why I'm talking to you about this morning. And it's really about my personal journey through this. And God gave me this before the summer. So it's amazing that as I've gone on through the summer and as we've been in this season as a church, you know, it's just confirmation that you know, I'm hearing God, which is absolutely amazing. So this talk is called In the Desert. Come on, Pete.
You just can't get the start, can you?
Let's party. Okay. This is about my journey, how God has spoken to me and what I have learned from it. I pray that you'll be able to take just a little something and that it will help you in some way. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce you a couple of people who have been instrumental on this journey. I am aware that most of you know who my boys are, but some of you don't. So as part of this journey, I thought it'd be nice for you to know who I am referring to. I am very proud of my boys. I'm not disillusioned. They are not perfect. But someone said to me when they were very small, never be afraid to celebrate or to share the good things your children do, as there is so much sadness in family life. It's good to share the positives of what God has done. And just recently, I felt a real burden to pray for families, those we know and those we don't. I was really blessed on Wednesday when Kim reinforced this by asking us not to forget to pray for families. I would like to reiterate that. Pray for our families. For those we know and those we don't. For those who walk with God and for those who don't. So these are my boys. This is Ben. He was 28 on Monday. I was a young bride. He works for a media company and is very passionate about his job and is very passionate about worship. He's a worship leader in his church, and quite often we get together to share the things of God. And this is Luke, also known as Pastor Luke Goodway. He pastors a small church in the Valleys. You know, it's quite a tough place being in the Valleys, apparently, from what Luke says. But he's got a real call in on his life, you know, and quite often, you know, Luke and I just sit and just share the things of God. And it's been absolutely wonderful to watch him grow in his calling. And this is Sam. Yeah, he wasn't part of this journey, but I thought I had to introduce him to you anyway. He's an incredible musician. He's presently studying his master's in Indian music at Durham University. A real heart this lad has. That's my boys. Okay. So those who know me know I love to worship. I love to immerse myself in singing, as this is where I find God. Therefore, this preach will also include some songs which have been poignant on my journey. The journey starts back in June, July time-ish. Pete and I found ourselves visiting some people we would not normally visit at a time when we would not normally be visiting. Some people call this fate, but I do not believe in fate. I do believe in divine intervention. During our visit, the conversation suddenly changed from normal chit-chat to that of a more serious nature. They began to tell us of a difficult situation they were in and had been in for some time. I was not expecting it, nor had I any idea that they were in this situation. I was shocked and taken back, and my heart went out to them. What was absolutely wonderful was that they asked Pete and I to stand with them and to pray while they were in this place. They felt they were in a desert place. They weren't particularly unhappy or stressed or worried, but it was important to them. They knew God will answer their prayers, and they knew they were in this place for a reason. I meditated over this for a few days and went into practical mode of what could be done, but did pray and gave it to God. I didn't panic, but my heart was stirred and I did feel saddened. God knows me very well, and he knows that sometimes I need a little nugget from him to remind me he is in control. So what happened next was amazing. Pete and I met Ben for breakfast one Saturday morning. And these are precious times because we don't get to see him that often, even though he lives less than 10 minutes away. We normally catch up about what's happening in church and the latest on where he is at with worship, as he is the worship leader at church. He got quite excited when talking about worship and asked me if I'd heard a particular song which had really blessed him. I did listen to this song when I got home. My goodness, it was an amazing moment. it was like the light bulb went on. The song really put me at rest and spoke to me in a huge way, but we're going to come on to the song a bit later. God knows what we need just when we need it. My thoughts developed around deserts a couple of weeks later when Pete and I visited Luke's church. We like to visit every now and again just to make sure they are still sound. The word Luke preached that morning was profound. One of the things he spoke about was deserts. He spoke of how different people react differently to being in a desert place and how being in the desert was important. I began to think about my own deserts. I've experienced a few, and some were bigger than others. I didn't particularly enjoy being in the desert, and they weren't part of my life plan. However, when I came out of the desert place, I recognised the change in me. However, what Luke said was that we should rejoice in the desert. I have to admit, when he first said that, I wondered where he was going with it, as rejoicing when things are difficult is not an easy thing to do. However, he unpacked this a bit. He explained that we experience deserts for reasons, and how we behave when we are in the desert is important. I began to investigate further. I asked myself some questions. How and why do we end up in the desert? How should we behave? And what should we do when we are there? For me, I had to take it back to my own experiences. I questioned how I found myself in these places, and my conclusion was that there were lots of reasons why we end up in deserts, including making our own decisions and stepping outside the will of God, or circumstances where other people made decisions for us. Sometimes it's just life stuff. Sometimes it feels easier to take control. It's hard to let go, to give up control. I am a fixer. I need to fix wrongs. Circumstances, I like to resolve. However, when we try to take control or keep a little bit of control, things get messy. We listened to some amazing preachers from Carl Martin at New Wine this year. He is an amazing teacher who brings the scriptures to life. And one morning, he spoke about being in the desert and dry bones. This reminded me of the scripture God gave me years ago when I was experiencing a desert place. The scripture is from Ezekiel 37, 1-8. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you know alone." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, but there was no life in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they might live. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it.'" This scripture is used in a wonderful worship song. We're going to listen to the song because it emphasizes just what I've read to you. And we've put the words up for you so that you can read as the song plays. The words are really important, and this is why I love worship songs.
Of God. awake to my dry bones. Your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me, make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. I am nothing without you, I'm on my own. The only one who satisfies my soul.
What an incredible song. Do you know, when I first heard that, I really struggled with the rap. Really struggled with it. But I played it over and over again. And this is months and months ago that I listened to this song. It's Chris Tomlin. And then I thought, gosh, that's the passage of scripture that God gave me all those years ago, you know, and it just came to life, you know. And in the rap, he says, and breathe. And that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just breathe. Quite often we say, just breathe. But God means breathe. Okay. He gives us life. When he breathes on us, we come alive. When I was in the desert place, I felt like dry bones. I felt like all I knew and had been stripped away. I felt I'd lost everything I had and everything I'd known. There were times when I found it hard to get out of bed, to face the day, to face people. I felt empty and lost. However, I knew there was a reason. God had a work to do in me. I wasn't keen. I didn't like it. And at times I rebelled. But I did have an assurance of God at this time. I knew it would be okay. I just didn't know how. Before the bones get to the stage of having a new body, there's a lot that takes place. It isn't a case of patching them up and sending them on their way. In the deserts, we are dry bones, but God will repair, rebuild, and breathe life into us. And whilst we are there in those places, God gives us people to stand with us. In my desert place, God gave me people who would walk with me and stand with me. God gives us the right people at the right time to give us direction and strength we need. We need to recognise those people who God has placed in authority over us and listen to them. I remember one time Pastor Richard telling me not to do three things. I agreed, nodded my head and went on my way. However, when it came to it, I did exactly what he told me not to do. A lesson learned. God is at work constantly. God should have authority over these situations. However, the desert was a horrible place to be in. I knew I would get out of this, but this was a time when God would work. In these moments, he reveals, he strengthens. When we are thirsty and hungry, he feeds us. God is preparing us, molding us, and shaping us. And because of this, the deserts can be times of joy and beauty. As Carl says, it can get messy, it can get ugly, but it's vital for the rebuilding to begin. I love Casualty and Holby City. I know it's not real, but I love to see people who come into A&E and get repaired. I'm sure Nathan and Georgie will probably tell me I'm disillusioned. I find documentaries on any type of operations fascinating. Just seeing people getting a cure or life improvement is great. I love to see how things happen. And this reminds me of the times I've taken my mum to the hospital for surgery. I made her a promise years ago when she came to live with us that I would always be there with her when she had to face these situations. I watched them firstly remove the bits that could cause her life to be threatened, and then I watched them reconstruct the wound. It's bloody and a bit gory, but it's amazing. This is just like God. He is always with us. He has promised not to leave us. He may allow us to experience certain things in our lives, but they are there for a purpose. They are there for the rebuilding. It may get rough, messy, gory. When we are through the other side, it will ultimately bring him glory. The children of Israel had a massive journey over years and years. They had to wait to go into the promised land. Why? Because they had to learn how to trust God. They had to grow into a nation that were capable of inheriting the promises of God. They spent years in the desert just doing this, but God was faithful to them and provided for all their needs. They never went without. I came to recognize that deserts are places of preparation. They are about our relationship with God. They are places of stripping, learning, and rebuilding. Our relationship with God will reflect on how we behave in the desert. I know God has changed me from being in the desert place. He revealed my weaknesses, faults, warts and all. He has made me more compassionate, and I have an empathy for others in all sorts of circumstances. I have a passion for God and the work he has called me to do. Our desert places are preparation times. Don't rush them. And if you are standing with someone in the desert, don't rush them out of it. We are stripped down, rebuilt, renewed by God. We may use these experiences for the future. They may help us empathize with those who are going through similar circumstances. For this is for that. We are here for out there. Okay, I want to refer back to the song Ben introduced me. It's based on an old hymn written by Horatio Spafford. And for those who have heard this part of my testimony, please forgive me. This hymn was written after traumatic events in Spafford's life. The first was the 1871 Great Chicago Fire, which ruined him financially. He had been a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in property in the area of Chicago that was extensively damaged by the Great Fire. His business interests were further hit by the economic downturn of 1873, at which time he had planned to travel to Europe with his family. At the last moment, there was a change of plan. He sent the family ahead while he was delayed on business concerning zoning problems following the Great Chicago Fire. While crossing the Atlantic, the ship sank rapidly after a collision with a sea vessel, and all of Spafford's daughters died. His wife Anna survived and sent him a now famous telegram, "Saved alone." Shortly afterwards, as Spafford travelled to meet his grieving wife, he was inspired to write these words as his ship passed near where his daughters had died. "I cannot begin to know how this man must have felt. He was broken and his heart ached, but he found God." I want to read you the words he wrote. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. For me be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thou peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. It is well with my soul." Now, I grew up with that song. I remember singing it over and over and over again in church. The piano playing, the organ playing, the harmonist singing, you know, never realised where that song had come from. Spafford was able to write this because of his relationship with God. He knew God. He knew he could trust God. He was in a desert place. He probably felt broken, but he didn't give up. He didn't lose sight. He didn't complain. He found God in this situation because he knew him. The song we're going to finish with you is based on this hymn. It's beautiful. It's a challenge. It was my nugget when I needed assurance from God way back in June, July. Can we honestly say, when life is absolutely horrid, it is well with my soul because I know God, because of my relationship with God, because in the end, this is for that.
With my soul. is well with me.
Thank you, and you know, it's great that you did it in your own way, in your own style, and you are a worshipper, so it's good that we had so many songs there. I love that song, and I love those words, through it all, my eyes are on you, it is well with my soul. It's hard sometimes to say, have a confession, it is well with my soul, when the last thing you feel is that it is well with my soul. And that's the trouble sometimes, you know, when you're in the desert place. And it's odd, and I didn't know what Michelle was going to share. You know, it's interesting, I started the meeting about this poor worshipper, interestingly, who was, his mind and his heart was all over the place because of what was going on and the blessings he said everywhere else apart from himself. And yet he brought himself back to this confession that, you know, but who else do I have but you? You know, my hope and my strength is in you, and I love being in your presence. And it's the same type of confession, you know, when we find ourselves in the desert place, you know, sometimes it starts with a confession of truth that, you know, my eyes are on you and it is well with my soul. And even if it doesn't feel well with your soul, you know, it's not lying. You're not trying to kid yourself. But sometimes you have to just confess the truth and say, no, Satan, you know, I'm not going to have you rob me of what I know I have in Christ. It is well with my soul. And that's how it starts. It starts with that confession of faith that, you know, I trust in you, Lord. I trust in your word. I trust that you are the strength of my heart. And it is well with my soul. And then that opens a channel of God's grace, you know, to lift you up. I think it'd be really good to finish with worship. You can do something different, yeah? Do you want Josh, I'll just leave it to you? Yeah, go for it.
When Michelle was talking, everything that you were saying kind of really resonated in a place that I was in not that long ago, and God just kind of gave me something that I'll sing to you now if that's all right. Is that a bit different? So bear with me as well, because it's mine. Close your eyes as well. I don't want you looking at me.
This desolate place. What have you brought me here? Please take me back to the place that I once knew. This bleakness surrounds me, but I won't let it. Turn my head to the one who's still there. feel like I've lost it all, and I stand here bare. This bleakness surrounds me, but I won't let it crown me, 'cause I will sing to you, my God, my King, my Lord. For you have rescued me and hold me in your arms. Yes, I will sing to you, the Holy One, my all. For you will not forsake me or take away your love. Oh, what a love.
Thank you, Nathan. Lovely words. And God must be doing something this morning, and it's either, you know, because someone here needs what God is saying to us, or it's because God wants us to take what we've heard this morning for someone who needs it out there, or it could be both. And, you know, there was a lot of emphasis this morning on really being attentive to what God is saying to us. And so, you know, we're out of time now. So I just want to say two things. You know, firstly, if you feel you're in a desert place, you know, whatever, you know, and you feel like you've experienced some of the things that Michelle's talked about, or Nathan's just been singing about here, and you're in that desert place, then talk to somebody that you're comfortable talking to, someone that you can trust, or, you know, come talk to me if you want to, but it doesn't have to be me, but I'm definitely here available. And we'll stand with you and we'll pray with you, and we'll just get your eyes fixed on Jesus again, because that's the answer. Like we were singing in the song, you know, raise your eyes above the waves, above the waters. When you're always just looking at the problem, when you're always just looking at the desert and the difficulties, then you can never find your way through. You have to look beyond them in order to, you know, to keep yourself moving. And you know, we'd be happy just to stand with you and pray with you. Jesus is the answer. I know it's a pet answer. I know it's what everybody says, but you know, you can't hide the truth. Jesus is the answer to your desert experience and the challenges and difficulties that you'll face. So, you know, if you're in that situation this morning, whatever it is, please, please reach out to somebody, get somebody to stand with you, get somebody to pray with you, and ask Jesus to come and give you the strength to bring you out of that desert. There was a particular line in that song. I can't remember it, but I remember them cheering as they sang it. You know, when the mountains kind of disappeared or something like that, into the sea. Was it? Disney, mountains disappeared into the sea. I see why they cheered, because, you know, that line really jumped out. But, you know, sometimes mountains, they are what they are. This is a mountain. You know, goodness me, how do I get over or around this mountain? And it just seems like there's no way. But in Jesus Christ, he can throw the mountains into the sea. He really can. And, you know, you might feel your situation is just so big. You know, how do you express that? But just so big, just so big. But Jesus can throw that mountain straight in the sea, and he can make a way for you. So if you're feeling any of those things, reach out to somebody or to me, and we'll stand with you. And secondly, I reiterate with everything we've been saying this morning, take what you've received this morning, take it out there. Because God might bring somebody in your path that's in a desert. He really might, and he probably will. Because this is what God is saying to us. And what are you going to say to that person who's in that desert place? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? between now and that moment, and I don't know when that moment is going to be, but between now and that moment, I encourage us all to think. What are you going to say when somebody in your path, for whatever reason, you find out they're in a desert place? Ask God to help you be prepared to impart something of the spirit of the word this morning and of the song that Nathan's been singing, to impart to them that, you know, they will come through that desert experience and God will be part of that solution. Amen.